number two of that 590 show coming at you live right now on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com. Matt Berger and Matt Rocchio alongside John G. Monte Rudolph behind the dials. Joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line is the NFL and tennis writer for the Sports Business Journal. You can follow him on Twitter at DKaplanSBJ. Dan Kaplan, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. I'm just still amazed at what Roger Federer accomplished yesterday, winning Wimbledon for the ninth time and another Grand Slam for the 35-year-old. He skips a French Open, probably wisely so, because he's only won it once, and that was in 2009. Clay is not his best surface, but he wins the Australian Open, skips the French Open, and now he wins Wimbledon at 35. How does he do it?
It really is the throwback year in professional tennis. Rafael Nadal,
you're right,
won the French Open, so they've won the first three slams of the year. Venus Williams has been in two of the slam finals. She didn't win either, but still. So it's been a tennis used to be a sport that was dominated by teenagers and early 20-somethings. Now it's dominated by 30-year-olds. What it shows is the game's a lot more physical and powerful than it used to be. Kids who are coming up, who are teenagers, who might have a nice game, it's hard for them to withstand the rigors of a Grand Slam tournament going through seven matches in 2 weeks.
You think that's what it is? It just became the rigors of the tournament, and the people who are older and their bodies a little more developed, they're the ones that are surviving?
That's clearly the case. I mean, if you look at Wimbledon, there's a lot more rallying that goes on at Wimbledon than perhaps 20, 30 years ago when Boris Becker won it. I think he was 17 or 18. I'm not quite sure how old he was when he first won it. But he had a serve and volley game. I'm sure if you compared hours on court in his time to hours on court now, it's dramatically higher now. There's just it takes a lot more mature body than it perhaps once did in tennis to win.
And you brought up Boris Becker and his serve and volley game. You don't see that much often in tennis nowadays. Like even on the women's side used to be nothing but serve and volley. It's not that anymore. Now it's all power.
No, it's not. If you go to Wimbledon, and someone will point out to you, if you look at the court after the first few days, you'll see the grass has gone all brown and beaten up by the baseline. If you went there 30 years ago, it would have been beaten up by the net because that's where the players are charging into, and there wasn't as much activity going on by the baseline. Now it's completely inverted, and you saw if you watched the match on Sunday, the center court match, or on Saturday, the turf near the baseline where they were serving, I mean, it was all but just a dirt patch.
So Roger Federer, he wins this Wimbledon title, like I said, his ninth one. He doesn't even lose a set. He was dominant from the opening round to the until the final. Where does this put him in the pantheon of men's tennis? Is he the greatest male tennis player of all time? Is he still behind people like Yvonne Lendl and Bjorn Borg, or where does he sit now?
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt he's above those names. You'd have to go further back into tennis history to someone like Rod Laver to it's always dangerous to compare eras in any sport. If you do it in baseball or football, hockey, any of these sports, I never saw Rod Laver play. He lost a number of years to when the game went professional and the amateur executives who ran the sport kept people like him out of major tournaments, so it's hard to look at the number of Grand Slams he won versus the number of slams that Roger Federer won. But if you ask me, I mean, given the level of competition that Roger Federer has to face, the amount of global travel, I don't think there's any doubt Roger Federer is the greatest tennis player we've ever seen on this earth.
When you see Venus Williams, she makes it to the finals, the Wimbledon finals. She loses, but she makes it to the finals. Do you think that Venus sees that and goes, you know what? After I have this child, I'm still going to come back, and I'm still going to prove that I'm the best. Do you think that kind of motivated Venus Williams, or how do you think she took that
Serena?
In?
I mean, Serena.
Serena, yes. I'm sorry.
Her sister's having the baby. I don't think Serena needs any motivation from her sister making the Wimbledon final. She's, one of the most motivated people around, so I think she's happy for her sister, but I don't think she needs that as motivation. She says she fully intends a comeback and does not, who knows how having a baby will change her. It's interesting, there were a number of new mothers playing at Wimbledon. Probably the most famous was Victoria Azarenka, who made the third or fourth round, the former Grand Slam champion. So not only are we seeing players who are older do better in professional tennis, we're actually seeing more and more mothers, which you never saw in professional tennis before. I mean, it was very rare.
Daniel Kaplan from the Sports Business Journal joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line. You can follow him on Twitter at DKaplanSBJ. So I would imagine going into the U.S. Open here in the next couple of months in Flushing, Queens, that Roger Federer has to be the favorite to win it now on the men's side because it's a hard service, and that's where he's the most dominant.
Well, you look at Djokovic may not even be playing. Nadal's a threat. I mean, Nadal is playing very well. It took an extraordinary effort by the player Gilles Muller, who beat him, to take him out. I think it was 15-13 in the fifth set. So Nadal would be certainly a threat to Federer. But, look, you never know who gets hot over a hot summer tournament in New York. But, yeah, right now, clearly Roger Federer is the favorite.
What do you think is going on with Djokovic? He was the top player in the world for a long time. He's still a great player, but he's not as dominant as he was before. What do you think is going on with him?
Well, there's been some personal struggles that have clearly gone on with him. He now appears to be injured, and whether that injury has been affecting him all this time, it's unclear. Look, Roger Federer, he took the last half of last year off, and it did wonders for him. Maybe that's what Djokovic needs. He needs to take, 6 months off and come back refreshed.
Daniel, everybody knows that you obviously know your tennis, but you also do a great job of covering the NFL, and you did it. Most people know you in St. Louis for your great work covering the relocation of 2015 when the Rams, the Raiders, and the Chargers were all trying to make it to Los Angeles. You know about the lawsuit that the city and county have filed against the Los Angeles Rams. The Rams want to try to get this move to arbitration as opposed to going to a jury trial. Do you think that they will be successful in their attempt?
I don't see them being, successful in moving it to arbitration. I think that probably stays in state court. I mean, I think all along what the Rams have the city and county have the best bet is their case that they should be compensated the expenditures they made to try to keep the team because they clearly were misled by the NFL and the Rams. That said, I think the rest of the lawsuit in terms of, future lost income, the Rams were, legally entitled to move. So I've never saw that part of the lawsuit as viable.
So do you think that eventually maybe that Stan Kroenke is just going to be calling the city and the county and being like, okay, you know what, let's just cut a deal and let's just settle out of court right now? Do you see that scenario happening more than Kroenke taking the stand and being disposed? And same thing with Kevin Demoff. Do you see them, those two, ever taking the stand as much as we want to see it?
Oh, I mean, that would be a treat, of course. But in our dreams, if it ever got to the point where it was going to actually go to trial, that's why most of these cases settle. I mean, the Rams are doing everything to keep it out of a courtroom, but if all their efforts at arbitration, at motions to dismiss and whatnot fail, I would fully expect there to be some sort of settlement before it hit open court.
The way that the Rams left St. Louis, the way that the Chargers have left San Diego, and the way that the Oakland Raiders are moving or leaving Oakland and heading to Las Vegas, do you think that's an image hit at all with the National Football League, or it's just kind of like, look, they make so much money, they don't care, eventually people are going to forget?
Well, it's clearly the position the NFL is taking. They don't care. I mean, whether it's St. Louis, San Diego, Oakland, I mean, they don't care. I mean, there was a viable proposal in Oakland in the end. The league might dispute that, but I think there was a viable proposal there. There was a viable proposal in St. Louis, clearly. In San Diego is a bit more iffy, but the NFL is, I've joked to people, the NFL's become a bank. I mean, that's what they care about, are the dollars. I mean, I don't begrudge them wanting to be in Los Angeles. But the Las Vegas thing was way over the top. I mean, there was to leave the sixth largest market in the country for the 40th largest just because there were enormous tax subsidies offered to the team. I mean, that is such a bad look. I it's the Knicks won squirm.
And you're seeing that Viagra is going to be pulling their ads from the NFL this coming season. They're citing the fact that the ratings were not what they used to be, and also because they're losing their patent and the generic market is about ready to be flooded, with off-brand Viagra. But could you think that's got the NFL's attention, you know, if people start pulling their money, start pulling their ads?
Well, I mean, clearly the declining ratings got the NFL's attention last year. I mean, there were a lot of reasons why the ratings went down. We could spend the next hour discussing it, whether it was presidential politics, Colin Kaepernick, poor matchups. The list could go on and on. I wasn't aware that the Viagra had said it was because of declining ratings. I know it was because of the move to generic drugs that was a big part of the reason. But look, the NFL is still, despite the decline, the lower ratings last year, it's still far and away the number one ratings entertainment property in the country. And if Viagra is not there, there'll be ultimately another advertiser that wants to advertise on NFL games.
Do you think that Roger Goodell, do you think he's watching the way that the NBA is turning into this year-round league as far as media coverage goes? You have the NBA Finals, then you have the draft, then you have the Summer League, and you're starting to see the league start, the young influx of talent that the NBA has with Lonzo Ball and Karl Anthony Towns and the Greek Freak in Milwaukee. Do you think that's kind of maybe getting the NFL's attention too? Like, you know what, right now we're number one, and we're pretty comfortable number one, but the NBA is really starting to gain some ground.
Well, the NFL has been moving towards a sort of the year-long calendar for a while. I mean, if you look at the draft, free agency, training camps, the NFL news. I mean, just today you have the Kirk Cousins Redskins news. It pops up and dominates the off season. From time to time, there is not. But I mean, you point out the Summer League. And the NBA obviously also has the Gatorade League. What the NFL doesn't have is a developmental league, and it could have a developmental league in the off season, and that could get attention. They've decided not to put the resources into that. It's been debated for many, many years. It will be interesting to see if in the next few years the league decides, especially because of limitations on off-season training and the CBA, if they decide they need to form a developmental league to give players more time to practice, to develop.
Can you see them maybe forming that developmental league, but maybe make it an off-season developmental league where it's not competing at the same time as the National Football League, and they don't want to compete against college either? So maybe that they develop kind of like when the XFL was on. I think the XFL could have worked if Vince McMahon was a little bit smarter about it and not flooded everything with a bunch of his wrestling friends, because the real hardcore sports fan doesn't take wrestling seriously. He doesn't want to hear a game called by Jim Ross and Jerry the King Lawler. Can you see them maybe develop, starting this developmental league, but making an off-season one where it runs in the spring?
They could. I'm sure if you ask the NFL, they would say all options are on the table, whether they're going to do a developmental league, when it would occur. I would imagine they would want to do it in the spring, to run a developmental league while the NFL season is going on might be problematic. I don't think they would envision it like the minor leagues of baseball, where they're calling up players during the season to take over for injured players and other roster spaces. It probably would be a spring summer type league. But again, the league is the NFL is so far the owners have not decided to go that route yet.
Daniel Kaplan from the Sports Business Journal joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line. You can follow him on Twitter at DKaplanSBJ. And Daniel, thank you again for making time for us. Final question for the night. Kirk Cousins, do you see him signing a long-term deal with the Washington Redskins, or do you think that he's going to play the salary cap year, and then after that he's probably going to go to someplace else, like possibly San Francisco?
Well, it's very rare we get to see true free agency in the NFL with quarterbacks, because they so often get this franchise tag put on them that prevents them from hitting the open market. Now, the Redskins can only do that two times, and they did it again with Cousins today for the second time, which is extraordinarily rare. So it certainly appears as if he's planning to hit the open market next year. Now, he's got to have a good season, but if he does hit the open market as a very rare, you know, free agent, you know, quarterback at the top of his game, we could be looking at one of the, you know, one of the largest contracts in NFL history. Of course, it's all dependent on how he performs this season.
Daniel, once again, thank you for making time for us this evening, sir. We look forward to we enjoy your insight on tennis and the NFL. Look forward to having you on again soon.
All right, thanks for having me.
Thanks, Dan. That is Daniel Kaplan from the Sports Business Journal. You can follow him on Twitter at DKaplanSBJ. Man, when the whole relocation thing was going on, whenever Dan Kaplan was on a radio show, no matter where it was, here, Los Angeles, San Diego, or Oakland, everybody who had a vested interest and where their team was going was listening to what Daniel Kaplan had to say. And the thing I like the most about Daniel Kaplan is that he was firmly in St. Louis's corner. Firmly. One of the very few national people who was. Most people were kind of like, yeah, you know what? Baseball town, move the team to L.A. They don't care about football. Daniel Kaplan was the only one who I thought was really objective about it.
You just love the article that came out this week, and I saw you talking about it. Know why the Rams were always going to move from St. Louis? Because it's worth more in L.A.
Well, of course.
It's groundbreaking research, everybody.
Yeah,
good job.
You didn't know that.
Pack it up. Pat yourselves on the back. Great article. No one saw that one coming.
If you take a POS house that's in Shrewsbury and you pick it up and you move it to Crenshaw or South Central in Los Angeles, yeah, guess what? The value's going to go up because now it's, you know, not that far away from the beach. But guess what? It's still a POS house. So instead of a POS football team here in St. Louis that's worth X amount, now it's a POS football team in Los Angeles worth an X amount. And that's all Stan Kroenke cares about.
It was just a dumb article. Of course, it's why
it was
he
a very
him.
Dumb article.
Of course, it's why he moved him.
It was a dumb article.
No, he actually moved him because he has a personal vendetta against the city of
St.
Louis.
That's what it is. This is what my favorite thing was, and I heard Vinny say this. You
as
know,
soon
I,
as Ferguson happened, he was, get me, get this team out of here.
And I mean, like, you know, I love Vinny to death, and I heard Vinny say this, and I didn't know, I couldn't help but laugh. He said, so, like, there was this growing sense in the organization of righting the wrong of moving a team out of Los Angeles back in 1995.
Oh, my God.
I mean, oh, you mean like by the guy who led the charge out of Los Angeles to St. Louis? Now all of a sudden he's got a crisis of conscience like he's Michael Clayton? Suddenly he's going to be like, oh, yeah, you know what we were doing was wrong the entire time. We need to right this wrong and get this team back to L.A. Stop it.
I saw a billboard. I'm not sure how real and or fake it is, but it said send the Rams back to St. Louis.
Oh, I think it was fake.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure it was fake. But, I mean, yeah, there were a lot of people who were tweeting out last year, you know, get this bleeping team back to St. Louis. It's kind of funny. Pony Danza texting in, the NFL is a horrible product since the newest CBA. It'll take about 15 to 20 years for it to happen, but it'll be as farcical as the WWE. I don't know about that. I agree with half of what he said, that the NFL, the product on the field isn't as good, and that is because of the CBA, and that's because they can't practice as much as what they used to. And I've heard people say this, that the offensive line play is bad because of the type of offense that they're running now in college football, which is more of a spread offense. Another thing, too, is that you can't practice the way you used to. You can't put on the helmets and the pads and go out there and bang heads like you used to. That's why the offensive line has been so bad. There was like three really good offensive lines last year in football. The Cowboys, the Raiders, and what was the third best offensive line last year in football? I'm trying to remember who had a really good
Titans.
One. Titans. The Titans had a good one too. That was it. Everybody else had an offensive line that was awful. From the 314, has Goodell commented on Viagra pulling its NFL advertising boy Roy McAvoy? As far as I know, he hasn't. I haven't heard him say that. And part of it is because the ratings have gone down, but a lot of it is that the generics are going to start hitting the market. They're not going to have the money. So what a lot of it boils down to. They're just not going to have the money to do it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big loss. I mean, every joke around the NFL and their ads is a joke about how, you know,
the ratings have gone soft, and even Viagra's out.
Yeah,
even Viagra can't.
Not just that, but
even Viagra can't stiffen the ratings.
But not just that, but if you're watching football, if you're watching American football, you must think that American men really love beer, really love beef, and therefore have a lot of erectile dysfunction issues.
Well,
like
yeah,
that's kind
well,
of that, that's
it's,
kind
it's,
of
just being caused from drinking all that beer, eating all that beer.
That's kind of the equation you get if you ever watched an NFL football game, because those are the three things you see literally every single ad break. So
I remember when
it's a big loss, but come on, the NFL's not freaking out just yet. I'm sure. Just wait 6 months from now until we get a new story about how the 30-second ad on the Super Bowl has gone up another $15 million. Doesn't change.
Like right now, when you watch an NFL game, yeah, sure, you see, you know, commercials for Budweiser, and you know, up until this year, this coming year, you would see him for Viagra, and but you still see stuff for like, you know, T. Rowe Price and John Hancock investments, stuff like that. When I was a kid watching football, all you saw were commercials for like motor oil and power tools. That was it. Like it was like real blue collar manly stuff. You didn't see commercials for investments, banking, none of that.
It's okay. We can all just don't worry, everybody. You'll just see the same Cialis commercial every time. Instead of both a Viagra and a Cialis commercial.
Oh, I think even Cialis is pulling out. They're going to be advertising probably on golf.
Oh my god.
They're probably going to be advertising on golf. Yeah.
That's a game changer.
People are going to get out of those bathtubs. Yeah. Those side-by-side bathtubs. Have you ever seen anybody do that ever in your entire life outside of a Cialis commercial?
No, but I've also never seen somebody go canoeing in pants with a golden retriever, and yet every JCPenney commercial tells me that's pretty regular.
I'm trying to think of the JC commercial that you're talking about.
You haven't seen every single TJ Maxx, JCPenney, Sears commercial where it's the really fashionable blonde white couple in long pants and
oh yeah, they bought new clothes to go get older.
And now they're gonna go canoeing and they have a golden retriever with them.
Yeah, they certainly don't do that around here.
Seriously, every single ad, like find me an ad right now on television from some random store that doesn't have two very attractive. Actually, no, people are getting smarter now. It might be a gay couple. It might be an interracial couple because
that's
now
true.
They're on every single ad, which is just smart marketing. It also makes me also every time I see an ad that has an interracial couple or a gay couple, it makes me happy how somebody in Atlanta or somebody in the middle of Georgia is getting really angry at that ad.
Oh yeah,
makes me smile. Just a huge smile. I love it.
Yeah, you see it on Twitter.
Like Bumble,
it's kind of funny.
Bumble the dating app has a ad right now, and the ad shows three couples. No, the ad shows four couples. A lesbian couple, a gay couple, an interracial couple, and actually, it's just those three. And I'm like, there's people in the world who, if they ever see this ad, are just 30 minutes of pure white hot anger.
They're
and the fact that
texting
that happens
right now, they're deleting their Bumble app right now.
Makes me so happy that people have to watch those ads and just get so angry.
Big Al wants to know who needs Cialis. That's what Big Al wants to know.
Yeah, you know.
Seems like
you're chiming in at an odd moment in the conversation, Big Al. I'm just wondering why you have to ask that question.
Are you looking to sell some?
Yeah, you're trying to sell some. You're trying to see how difficult it is to get the prescription. I mean, I don't know personally. I'm just wondering why you chime in at such an odd time, Mr.
What do we say?
Al?
We used to be your anonymous gay sex liaison. Now we are your anonymous erectile dysfunction drug hookup.
I'd forgotten about that. We're not getting the...
Come on, Giamatti. Have that drop ready.
We're not getting the return calls back like I thought we would at that level. So that kind of died off a little bit. I'm a little disappointed, but oh well. I'll live with it.
Do you got it ready, Giamatti? Does not have it ready. Let's take a commercial
he's
break.
Efforting. That's what we call it in the business. We call it efforting, Matt Berger.
Giamatti is just right there.
He's efforting it. Don't hold him. Don't hold back the young man. Again, it works so much better.
I was looking for the anonymous...
Yeah, that's what I thought you had ready.
Oh, no, I don't have that one.
Okay,
it works so much better when you don't even call for it.
That's true. Let's take a commercial break. Coming up, we will get back to the Summer League conversation.
Did we start it?
No, we didn't.
Okay.
We never had it.
Also, we're going to talk about Game of Thrones, Matt Berger's favorite topic.
And we are your liaison for anonymous gay sex.
That's going into the new open, right?
That's got to go in the new open. Yeah, it's got to. Let's take a commercial break, and then coming up next, Summer League of Basketball and Game of Thrones, which is more boring? You're listening to That 590 Show right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.